I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
And that's Grayson.
And this is Autism Building the Puzzle.
One piece at a time.
Hi, and welcome to Autism Building the Puzzle, one piece at a time. I am Sean, your host, and with me is my wife, beautiful as always. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for the compliment, babe.
Of course, always.
I appreciate that.
That's what I'm here for.
Aw. Welcome, guys.
So today we're going to be talking about speech therapy.
Yes. So, speech therapy is a treatment that can improve communication skills. It's also sometimes known as speech-language therapy. The specialists who do speech-language therapy are known as SLPs. What they are going to do when they help your child is they're going to start by identifying what kind of speech or language problem that child has. Then they'll determine what's causing it, and they'll decide on the best treatment and come up with the best plan.
Yeah, and SLP stands for Speech Language Pathologist.
Thank you.
No problem. And I think we said that in one of our quick tips in the past. So,
yeah.
When we were talking about some of the acronyms and stuff like that. So, many people think that speech therapy is only for kids with speech disorders that affect pronunciation and stuff like that. But it's also for kids that struggle with writing and written language, as well as reading. You know, one of the things that may include is dyslexia as well. So not all kids, you know, just go get speech therapy if they can't speak at all. Sometimes it's because they're writing stuff the wrong way. And, you know, even if it's kids that are a little bit older, you know, and they're in second grade or something, you know, teachers aren't necessarily prepared to deal with something like that. So, going to a specialist that can, you know, help work with your child on those things is going to be really vital to their success in school as well. So
absolutely. In addition to speech challenges, therapy can also target problems with receptive language, which is understanding language, expressive language, which is using language, so talking, social communication, using language in socially appropriate ways, reading and spelling, including dyslexia, like Sean was just saying.
Yeah, so one of the ones I find interesting, too, is the social communication one.
Because
you'll find so many kids using words when they're not supposed to be using certain words and stuff like that.
I find you doing that stuff, too, sometimes, baby.
I guess I need to go see a SLP.
I guess so.
Work on it. What do you guys think, huh?
In the speech paradigm.
I think they're on my side. I think they think I talk fine.
Yeah, well, you do. You're a very good talker.
I'm a very good speaker.
How it will work is therapy can happen one-on-one or in small groups. It may last from a few months to a few years. Therapy, the earlier therapy begins, the more helpful it is. Language difficulties are usually lifelong, but skills can improve with the right support. And like Sean was saying before, speech therapy is not just for children. It can help some adults too. However, it's usually not covered by insurance, so they don't usually seek treatment. So,
yeah, and sessions, you know, could range from a half hour to an hour long.
They could be once
a week, twice a week. A lot of it depends on what's going on with the child, the age of the child, any other therapy the child might be doing, and, you know, the severity of, you know, the situation and stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, speech therapy is only where learning how to communicate and the right way to communicate starts. So the most important place that children learn language is just their everyday environment at home. You know, the parents have so many more opportunities to teach them in everyday life, everyday activities, using and introducing new words and things like
Absolutely. All day can be a teaching experience. One quote that I absolutely love that I want to share with you guys is, parents are no longer observers of the therapy. They are an essential part of their child's intervention. So like Sean was just saying, every moment is a teachable moment. Take advantage of those moments. Even if, you know, let's say you're baking, you need the butter, you know, show them the butter and have them try to say butter. You can incorporate them mm-hmm. in everything that you do. So that's really, really important. And you are the biggest example for your children, and they learn from their parents the best. So that's very important.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to have a much bigger impact with your child on doing things throughout the day like that than, you know, a therapist can have in a half hour or even an hour once or twice a week.
Yeah, you're the key player in your child's intervention, so you have to try to help them as much as you can.
And it's confusing for the children, too, if, like, they're doing certain things in therapy, but then they're not doing it outside therapy.
Right, right.
You know, they're going to wonder, okay, like, why am I doing this now but not doing it with mom and dad or, you know, at this time or whatever, you know?
Absolutely. It should be an ongoing basis.
Oh, definitely. And they even spend a good amount of time. I mean, we do speech therapy with Grayson because of the pandemic. We do it on telehealth. And we thought it was going to be, you know, pretty rough in the beginning.
Yeah.
But he took to it really well.
It's gone better than I ever expected it to.
Yeah, it's only been, what, like 6 weeks, and he's been doing fantastic. Every week he's getting better.
After the first, when we had the first week, I was like, this is never going to work. I was like, we just got to keep at it. And by the second and third week, he just completely turned it around.
Yeah, you know, it's great. And the end of the session every time, you know, we just talk to the SLP for, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes. And, you know, they talk about, well, you know, these are the things you want to work on.
Yeah, and what they'll do is they'll actually teach you the parents' language strategies that parents then can use whenever they're with their child. So at the end of the meeting, we'll go over things of just what to work on and, you know, how to have him request for things and and just some tips. And it does make, you know, the parents are able to make a difference in their child's progress and to help their child as much as they can.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that we're doing with Grayson is we're supposed to be asking him for help in the kitchen and stuff like that. So he, you know, it helps him learn receptively about, you know, being asked to do things and what that means. You know, and then sometimes we even ask him questions and we say the answers.
So he knows so the responses. Yeah. I should really start doing that for Sean. I'm just kidding, babe.
No, she's probably right.
But, you know, as a parent, you will think to yourself, like, how can I help my child? I'm not an SLP. I don't have a degree. And you'll feel like you don't have an influence. However, like we said, you are the most important teacher, and they will learn from you the best. So definitely keep up with that and definitely help them every minute of the day.
We'll be right back after a word from our show sponsors. Here at Building the Puzzle, we understand how difficult and challenging it can be for parents with autistic children that have communication delays. Well, if you're in New Jersey, you're in luck. The Speech Paradigm has you covered. They're helping children overcome speech challenges all across New Jersey. They offer both telehealth services as well as in-home therapy. Please reach out to them. You can take a look on their website at www.thespeechparadigm.com. You can reach out by phone at 732-203-5268. You can also find them both on Facebook and Instagram as well at The Speech Paradigm. We are also sponsored by Grayson & Company, making homemade toys. They have everything from wooden homemade toys to sensory bins, sensory boards, all different kinds of toys for your children. They can be reached at grayson-company.myshopify.com as well as on Facebook and Instagram as well as Etsy. On Etsy, they can be found at Grayson & Company Toys. And now back to the show.
So I want to go over some of the ages and the percentage of speech understood by others. So, you know, we're actually going to post this chart in our show notes.
Okay.
The 2 years, they should have 50% is understood by others. So, meaning, if you are the only one that can understand your child and nobody else can, you need speech therapy. That is an issue. A lot of parents will say, oh, you don't understand what they said? I know what they just said because I'm around them all the time. That should not be. Everybody, they should be able to speak to everybody and they should understand what they're saying.
They should understand 50% of what they're saying by age.
Yeah.
Two.
And yep. I remember a story by an SLP actually went out to the home for an evaluation and had asked the child, I think it was around the holidays, and had asked the child, like, what do you want for Christmas? And the child told them. Well, they didn't understand. And the mother's like, oh, you don't know what she said? This is what she said. This is what she wants. And they automatically said right there, if we cannot understand and only you can, that's a problem. So definitely get an evaluation. Just see how other people respond to them talking and kind of see if that's, you know, a sign that you should be concerned about.
Yeah.
At 3 years of age, 75% should be understood by others. And at 4 years, 100% should be understood by others.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm 38 and, you know, people don't understand 100% of what I say. Especially you.
Yes, yes. And then some of the vocabulary norms. The age, 12 months, should, the number of typical words said should be between 2 and 6. So for 12 months of age, 1 year, 2 to 6 words. Red flags are no babbling, not trying to say adult-like words. Age 15 months, they should be saying between 10 to 25 words. A red flag is they are saying fewer than 10 words. At 18 months of age, they should be saying typically 50 words. A red flag would be fewer than 20 words. At 24 months, they should be able to speak 200 to 300 words, and that would be combining two words together. As for an example of that would be mama, go. A red flag would be fewer than 50 words and not being able to combine words together.
Yeah, I'm so glad we were able to find this resource too, because I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
When Grayson was younger. Like, when he hit one, I didn't know he should have had, you know, 5-6 words.
Yeah.
I thought if he said any words, it was like awesome by one.
Yeah, I know. You don't know that as a first-time parent. And now I realize back then I thought, you know, they all develop differently. But these are red flags. If your child is not doing this, this is a huge red flag.
Yeah, and girls do usually speak a little faster than boys do.
But only by a few months.
Only by a couple months. So, you know, don't just think because you have a boy and
this is normal.
You know, they're a couple months behind. You know, still don't take the chance. Like we always say, the sooner you get support and help and resources, you know, the better off, you know, you're all going
to
be. So
yeah, and it's better to go if you do have a doubt and just get your child checked. It's better to just know, oh, okay, there isn't a problem, and yeah, just be safe, you know, rather than wait.
Yeah, and one of our friends has a sister with a child that she just wasn't satisfied with how he was speaking.
Yeah.
It was like, you know what, I'm going to call and get him evaluated and go see what we could do to, you know,
fix that.
Yeah, and there wasn't much there, but, you know.
It's still better just to get checked and, you know, not have to worry about that every day. And like Sean was saying, you know, boys, yeah, they do develop slower in language than girls do. However, that's just a few months. Boys develop speech and language still within a normal range of developmental milestones. So they should still be meeting the general milestones for speech and language. If they are significantly behind, then it could be a sign of, like what we said, a language delay or a disorder. It could be autism. You just never know. It's also true that more boys than girls have language difficulties or disorders. The ratio is 2 to 1 or 3 to 1, actually.
Which, I mean, Autism also is more common in boys. So,
4 times more common than in girls.
Yeah, so there's got to be some factor.
Yes.
You know, that correlates with that.
Yeah. Some red flags that you're going to want to look for to talk to your child's pediatrician or contact an SLP, speech-language pathologist, is if the child has very little or no eye contact with others, unable to request their needs in a way that others understand, like we just spoke about, limited words or no words at all by 18 to 24 months, little or no interest in communicating with others or using gestures, such as pointing, getting your attention. That is a huge red flag. Grayson did not point, and every child should point. So that is a big red flag that you would want to get evaluated just in itself. If they're not responding to their name, turning, looking, again, another red flag and another sign of autism.
Grayson had that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, for him, you're right, he did have that. And I remember, though, talking to the pediatrician about this, I never used to say his name. So if I walked in his room in the morning, I'd be like, hi, good morning. I wouldn't be like, Grayson. So I wasn't saying his name a lot. And then once she had said that, I literally went home that day and was saying his name all the time. And he learned it. And now he's great with it. So definitely do that. I don't think sometimes you realize, even just waving to your kids, like in the morning, go in and wave. That was another thing I never did. And strangers never waved to Grayson. So he still does not wave to this day. I mean, yes, that's, a red flag.
We're working on that. And he's making a little bit of progress. So.
Mm-hmm. And then another and last, well, not last, there's many more, but another red flag you're going to want to look for is frustration when they're unable to communicate with others. And that's a common one, especially autism. I mean, Grayson is nonverbal, so he does get frustrated when he can't speak what he needs and things like that. And as he gets older, that's going to get even more frustrating for him as those needs develop and progress into bigger needs. So definitely keep a lookout for those things.
Yeah, and, if the child does turn out to be nonverbal, that doesn't mean speech therapy is not going to help, because they do work with other things like PECs and stuff like that. And, we're working with ours.
The ALC devices, they can do all of that with you.
They really teach you all that stuff. So, mm-hmm. We don't want one of those for Grayson right now.
Even just drinking out of a cup or a straw, that's where an SLP would come in. So if you're struggling with that, definitely contact them for those issues, or oral issue, swallowing, eating issues, anything with the mouth or motor planning, that would be an SLP.
Yeah, so it's not just, some of the things you might think of, but there's also so many things, muscles in there that might be weak and not allowing them to make certain sounds. Obviously, a tongue tie is a common one.
Yes.
That they check for usually. Mm-hmm. Like we always say, the vibrating toothbrush is really good because it helps stimulate those muscles.
Very good.
We used that with Grayson, and he started making so many more sounds when we did that.
Yes, he did.
And they work on receptive language too. And the receptive language, it's just as important. Grayson understands so much more about what we say to him than he ever did before. And we were working on that with speech therapy, as well as we did work on communication with our ABA therapist as well. And he learned a lot from that.
So what causes speech language delays or disorders? Most of the time, you're not even sure. Sometimes, like we said, a child may have another disorder that can contribute to slower development, meeting milestones such as hearing loss, cleft palate, or a genetic disorder or medical diagnosis such as autism spectrum disorder, Down syndrome, or another intellectual disability like we had spoken about. Suspected causes may include genes, hereditary. A lot of times, if children in the family didn't start speaking till late, sometimes your child won't start. With me speaking at the age of 4, a lot of the providers didn't know if this could be a hereditary thing too. Could Grayson be a late talker, along with the autism not helping? But it's a combination of those things. So approximately between 2 and 8% of school-aged children have a language disorder. 1 in 12 U.S. children ages 3 to 17 have had a disorder related to speech, language, voice, or swallowing in the past 12 months. So that's where that swallowing thing that we had just mentioned, mm-hmm. that oral problem, comes into play. Another thing I want to talk about is if your pediatrician, you know, says, oh, just wait a little bit, you know, they're 12 months, let's give it till 18 months. Don't wait. Pediatricians, yes, they're there and they know development and all of that, but oftentimes they're responsible for screening children for speech and language delays at the child's well checks. However, pediatricians only have general knowledge. They are not specialists. They're not SLPs. SLPs are the experts and have more specific education and training to help identify children who need help. So you really want to contact a specialist. Yes, the pediatrician can get the ball rolling, but if they are, you know, not responsive in a timely manner, that can matter in your child's treatment plan and outcome. So definitely do not wait.
And speech therapy doesn't consist of just, you know, one type of therapy, you know. Like we said before, obviously they have receptive language, they have expressive language, all different things. But they also can work on verbal prompt training, which is where they assist the child in showing them how they need to move their mouth to help work on their motor planning, if the motor planning's an issue.
Which is not, like, a proxy of speech.
Yeah. Not all SLPs can provide all these different services. So, you know, if you have an interest in one, you know, something specific, make sure you ask, you know, the provider.
Right, and that's a great point. Like the prompt training you were just saying, you're going to want to look for a prompt-trained SLP. Not all SLPs are specialized in that, so that's important.
Especially for something like what Grayson has. Based on, you know, the fact that he doesn't talk really other than saying mama, dad, a handful of words.
Yeah, it's regularly. Too.
It's more than likely a lot of it for him is
motor planning. Yeah.
He doesn't know how to move his muscles in his mouth and jaw and everything to make the sound.
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen naturally for him. So he has to create those new neural pathways in his brain. And one of the best ways, you know, as of this point in time, that anybody knows how to do that is through oral prompt training. So So before we head out of here, is there anything else you want to mention to the audience?
Yes, so there's one more thing I want to say is some ways of how you can help your child, just some tips on an everyday basics.
It's going to be a long edit tomorrow, dude.
Yes, there's actually one more thing I want to say. I just want to give you guys some tips just to help your child develop some speech and language skills that you can use on an everyday basis. Talk about things you see. Smell, hear, touch. Teach them about those senses. Smell a flower or taste something. Ask them if it's sweet, sour. Say, I hear an airplane. Look in the sky. Little things like that. Point. Have them look. Another thing you could do is have your child, for example, if your child says dog, you could respond with, yes, that is a big brown dog. And you could say, what does the dog say? You could do like woof. You could do those kinds of things. Yeah. And, you know, just sounds. Animal sounds are a huge one. Just do simple ones. What does the cow do? Moo. And start with that and make it fun. Sing nursery songs. E-I-E-I-O. Yeah. Have them finish it. Things like that.
I've even seen SLPs recommend, instead of calling it a cow, call it a moo.
Right. Yes, I've heard of that, too.
Instead of a dog, call it a wolf.
Great point.
You know, you'll get them to make a lot more sounds that way and participate in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Another thing that's a huge teachable moment is if you read to your children. point out the pictures. Talk about what you see on each page. That is something that we do a lot, actually, in speech therapy. And it's really helpful, and it really engages Grayson because he loves to read. Another thing, peekaboo. Play peekaboo, ring around the rosary. Or I spy for older children. And use gestures always to help your child understand what you mean. Yeah, and I think that that is the last thing I want to talk on.
Yeah,
so again, you guys are the biggest example for your children. Definitely be involved.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest advice is, you know, try to take everything you learn from every meeting you have with, you know, and this goes for any intervention, whether it's speech, OT, ABA, doesn't really matter. Take, you know, everything you learn in those and just, you know, accept it, embrace it, and make it a part of your everyday life. Because that's what's really going to make the biggest difference for the kiddos.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well,
hope you guys learned and got something out of this episode.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you on the next one.
Thanks for tuning in.
For Autism, Building the puzzle, one piece at a time. I'm Sean.
And I'm Alex.
Signing off. Take care, everybody. Here at Building the Puzzle, we understand how difficult and challenging it can be for parents with autistic children that have communication delays. Well, if you're in New Jersey, you're in luck. The Speech Paradigm has you covered. They're helping children overcome speech challenges all across New Jersey. They offer both telehealth services as well as in-home therapy. Please reach out to them. You can take a look on their website at www.thespeechparadigm.com. You can reach out by phone at 732-203-5268. You can also find them both on Facebook and Instagram as well at The Speech Paradigm. We are also sponsored by Grayson & Company, making homemade toys. They have everything from wooden homemade toys to sensory bins, sensory boards, all different kinds of toys for your children. They can be reached at grayson-company.myshopify.com, as well as on Facebook and Instagram, as well as Etsy. On Etsy, they can be found at Grayson and Company Toys.